Good morning. I'll be reading Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Roots this. All right. There's the sign. So our kids who know the sign will be following. And if you take your kids out with Miss Brandy, and she will get you to where you're going to go. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
Good morning. Good being with you. I appreciate the invitation from Steve. And when I read which psalm he gave me, I thought, oh, that's a really good one. You know, you start out with, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I thought, wow, that's good. And then you start reading the rest of it, and there's all this stuff about enemies start showing up. And it's like, well, thanks, Steve. I really appreciate the okay. That better? So, which of us doesn't need an occasional confidence builder? The Lord is my strength, my light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Life gets messy for us. You don't have to live very long to discover that, do you? And it doesn't always go the way we plan, the way we hope, the way we dream. It gets very dicey many times. Sometimes we encounter some actual situations that are threatening to us, threatening to our lives or to our livelihoods. And then we've got those internal imaginations that are pretty vivid. Sometimes the enemy is from within us. I don't know about you, but I had a mom who was a terrific mother, but one of her gifts was the gift of worrying. And she figured if you worried hard enough about something that might happen, that would keep it from ever happening. And I picked up that gift. I do that well. And yet it's not really what this psalm is talking about. Sometimes we have to go back to the enemy within or the enemies without and remind ourselves of the first verse. If you were around during Harvey, the hurricane that came through, many of you know personally about it because your homes were affected. The next storm that came around, guess what many of us did? We had this internal panic and relived it, did we not? And say, oh no, not again. Even though we knew it wasn't a hurricane, it was just a thunderstorm. But we tend to take internal traumas and relive them the next time something triggers it off. And that becomes our enemies. Randy Becton helped start this ministry as an advisor, the ministry of Lifeline Chaplaincy. He was a cancer survivor from a very young age in his 20s and 30s. Treated at MD Anderson, he was with the Herald of Truth, and very well known. But one of the stories he loved to tell, and I've heard him tell it many times, is the story of the young girl who was in her bedroom, and there was a bad thunderstorm going on, and so her mother came in to calm her down. And the mother assured her that all would be well, and though even though you can't see God right now, God is always with you. And as the mother starts to leave the room, the little girl says to the mother, but right now I need a God with skin on. And I've used that as a model of how we all are sometimes. We believe and appreciate the invisible God, but sometimes we need a God with skin on, and God actually made us that way. You as a congregation helped establish the ministry that became Lifeline Chaplaincy with that very thing in mind. Someone who can show up to someone in a hospital room and say to someone who feels abandoned, God is here with you. God is in love with you and has not offered you. I offer you my presence. As a God with skin on. Marie Bannister did that for decades. The little pillows that Marie started making, the very simple things that seem so trite when you're nice and healthy and you look at those, become a symbol of a tangible God who loves you. And you'll be glad to know that idea that she had where she collected pantyhose in the foyer of all the churches in Houston and sewed those pillows given to patients. That's now being duplicated all over the state, anywhere that Lifeline Chaplaincy is, in Dallas, in Fort Worth, Austin, and Temple, and Waco. There are groups of people that are making those same pillows that are being distributed by the thousands every year. Marie would be shocked at that, and I think very pleased. I remember one time very vividly a story a man told me while I was making a visit at MD Anderson. I walked in his room, and it was actually, the room was kind of dark, and it just had that feeling of somberness about it. And I began to talk to this man. He was an older man. And he had just been told by the physicians that we're out of options for you. And so it's coming to the end of your life's journey. You need to get ready to go home and get your house in order because death is imminent. So I pulled up a chair, and it was just he and I that day, and so he began to talk about some reflective stuff of life he had lived through. He was a World War II survivor. He was one of the troops that had started in France from the invasion of Normandy and all up and down the coast, and had come across with Eisenhower and others all the way across France and into Germany. So he had seen a lot of battles. But what he talked about the most was when they got to the concentration camps, where everybody was being confined and all the Jewish people and others were being starved to death. And he said they walked into this camp and they were all appalled and literally sick to their stomachs at what they saw. Emaciated people who were still alive. He said there was a stack of bodies that were stacked up like cordwood from some people some of the prisoners had been killed before the Allies got there. And he said the trouble was some of the people in that stack of cordwood were not dead yet. And he said, Eisenhower told the soldiers that day, if you ever need to remember why you have done what you have done, remember this today. And then he had the soldiers go to the town that was next to them, the German town, and bring all the citizens in and march them through that concentration camp that was literally in their backyard so that they too would know what had really been going on. So as this man began to unfold this story, and I'm just amazed at what he had been through, assuming that he had told it many times. But he followed it up with this story. He said, when one time he was out after the war was over, was out with his family at a picnic outside, and they were sitting at this picnic table, and a small little Piper plane came over and buzzed over them. And he said, as soon as he heard it, he jumped under the picnic table. And he said, and you know what happened? I had no idea. He said, my family laughed at me because he had had this reaction. And of course he would have, I mean, because of all the buzzing he had heard. And so he decided then he would never mention again any of the things that he had seen in that war. And I've taken that story and I thought, wow, what some people, and all of us really have our stories, our war stories, but what do we do to counteract that, to find hope and life and love? And perhaps this psalm, as much as any of them, speak to that, because our enemies can come from all sources. Sometimes we know them well, sometimes we don't. So there's two themes to this: confidence in God's presence. Unendingly, you can count on God when you can count on nobody else. And then the human side, by the way, God, please hear my prayer. Even if my parents had abandoned me, I believe that you're going to be there. But it's this despair prayer that's not as confident, that is actually begging God to make sure that you show up. Pleading with God when terrible things happen or when God seems abandoned. Don't hide your face from me, Lord. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Do not reject or forsake me. You put that against the first verse, and it is very, very odd. David, the writer of this, was a warrior king. He knew war from a young child, or at least a teenager. He had known war and was constantly, the Hebrew scriptures are full of the battles that he was engaged in, or that his men were engaged in all the time. And many times he was literally surrounded by enemies, and many of his psalms reflect that. And in fact, it's said of David that he wanted to build the grand temple to worship God in, that God said, you've shed too much blood. We will let Solomon do that, not you. He knew what it was like to face enemies. The verse that said, the verse that was just read to us, when men want to devour me, didn't make a whole lot of sense to me when I reread that just recently. And then I remembered and had it pointed out that when David, probably a teenage David, shepherd boy, faced Goliath, what did Goliath say to him? I'm going to put your body out and let the wolves and the buzzards have at it, because you're going to be dead. And actually, David took that same phrase and turned it back to Goliath. And that became the actual end of the story. But when he said, people want to devour me, he's literally talking about what had been threatened against him. And probably even more important in David's life was when evil turned against him from within his own house, or from the king that he had served to serve Saul. The king that he had been so loyal to and so close to turned against him and actually sent his soldiers against him. And a lot of David's early life was spent running for his very life from the king that he had served. And if you read a little bit further about his own son, taking a group of soldiers and mounting this rebellion, this very painful rebellion, when Absalom almost succeeds in taking what God had given to David and taking it from him, David knows about enemies and found it very difficult. Stay with me. I know I can do this. There we go. But if you read the entire psalm, you know of David's unwavering confidence. Even when it's shattered, he always comes back to a God who was there in his presence, in spite of the very fear, the human fear, that God might not be there. I think it's relatively easy to be grateful to God when things are going well, when we have plenty to eat and good shelter and we're safe. We get to have some control of our daily life schedule and things are going okay. It's rather easy to say thank you, God, and to keep moving. It's harder to do so when things are not going so well, when things get threatened, when things are in a financial distress, or a natural disaster occurs like we have had here, or someone hears from the doctor, this is going to be a chronic illness for you, or it's a life-threatening illness, or this may be the last illness that you will face because of death. Sometimes we get betrayed by people that we think were on our side. If you've ever been betrayed by a good friend or a family member, it is painful to live with that, and it happens to most of us. I know of a small church in West Texas. I won't give you the town because some of you are probably from there. But there was a church that existed for a long time with the understanding of which side of the aisle you sat on was which family member that you gathered with. There'd been a real split between a couple of families. And so when you came to worship, you had to decide who you were going to align yourself with in worshiping God, because the other side was the enemy. I thought, wow, what a symbol of love and affection for each other. Isn't that nice? But that's how we are. And those of us who know suffering at its deepest level, either from losing someone or something so valuable that you're not sure you can live without it, you see your dreams shattered into impossible shards, and it will never be the way that you thought it would be for whatever reason. We can appreciate David's two themes. There are days of great confidence in God's goodness, and we can cite, along with Hebrews 13, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. And at the same time, we as human beings can say, I can acknowledge the feeling fully defeated on certain days. And we will lament with those psalms that say, how long, O Lord, how long? Both are there in the Psalms. The reason the Psalms are so good for us is that they describe the human condition of dealing with a God who is there, but who doesn't always feel there like we'd like him to be. When my world seems like it's on shaky, sandy soil and nothing's going right, I need some fellow travelers to walk with me, to be the God with skin on and remind me God may not feel present, but know that God is there. It is amazing, if you've been on the receiving end of that, how that can ground you a little bit and get you through some very difficult times. And then, in regaining our sense of grounding, we can say with the same confidence of David facing the giant, I can say boldly and gladly, the Lord is my light, my salvation. With whom shall I fear? Some of you are talking about St. Patrick's Day. I was made fun of by grandchildren because I didn't have on green today. Well, I forgot, and I'm going to blame it on the fact that my ancestry DNA says I'm more German than Irish, so, you know, it's my German side came out today. So, but the Celts, the British Isles, when they were transformed into Christianity, including by St. Patrick and many others who brought Christianity to those isles in the early centuries, had a concept called thin places. The Celts practiced, before Christianity and after, the idea that God is more present in certain places, that the earthly and the spiritual come together in certain special places. For example, at the ocean, when the beach and the water come together, so it's two different elements that are just so close that they're almost one, but they're still separate. The door that goes to an outside, or a cave that goes somewhere, those are called thin places where the spiritual and the earthly come close together. And sometimes they took that concept and said God can also happen in special experiences or in special people or in special things that happened. I bet there have been times in your life when you have specifically felt something special, the presence of God in ways that you don't normally feel. For many, it can be on a religious retreat, maybe at a time when you're off by yourself or with a group of people. I remember one time when I was on staff at a church in Fort Worth, I had a man stop by. I was mowing my yard, and he didn't stop by to help me mow the yard. He had this great idea for church, which I was really hacked at, but anyway, that's my issue. But he had just come from this big, giant workshop in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It had been very successful. He was so excited about it, And he said, Virgil, we have got to have singing like they have at the workshop I was just at in Tulsa, Oklahoma. What can we do to get our church of 400 to have what they had there? I said, well, how many were in this sanctuary, or how many were singing? He said, oh, 5,000 or 6,000. And I said, well, we got a little ways to go, you know, but he wanted to repeat that in a way that I understood fully, but it was a mountaintop experience. It was a thin place for him, and he was wanting to duplicate it. We don't always get to duplicate. In fact, I don't think we get to force thin places. I think God grants them to us when we need them. One time, I was talking to Sister Alice Potts, one of my mentors and best friends at MD Anderson, and she was a sister of providence. But she often described coincidence as God doing miracles anonymously. She didn't think coincidence just happened, that was God's way of just nudging us along. I like that. I remember one time after we moved to Houston in 85, we'd been at this church in Fort Worth for 8 years and gotten very close to many of the families there. One of the ladies that my family had gotten close to, and I particularly as youth minister had gotten close to because I'd ministered to her grandkids, was a lady named Lottie. And she had written this really special letter to my mom, telling her about what I meant to her personally because I'd helped her with her husband's funeral and what I was doing with her family. I mean, it's just one of those treasures that you keep. And instead of sending it to me, she sent it to my mom. And I still have that somewhere in a box, but it really meant a lot to me. About a year after we moved here, we were living in our house in Missouri City. And I don't remember what was going on, but I said to Carol, I said, I wonder what's going on with Lottie. Just a passing statement. And we let it go. And about 4 days later, Carol was coming in. She'd gotten the mail from the outside. She said, why did you mention Lottie? I said, she just crossed my mind. It was just like she was here and just real. I don't know. Well, she pulled out the church bulletin, and Lottie had died. And that was the announcement of her death. And it just kind of took my breath away. I thought, what is up with that, you know? And rather than try to over-explain it to myself, I just said, that was probably Lottie's way of wishing me a farewell, goodbye. I'm good with that. But you try to force those kind of things, I'm not sure we can do it. But I just learned to say, thank you, Lord, for the experience. This psalm is a thin place. It's asking for God's intimacy, closeness. Come close to me, even if my enemies are surrounding me. The enemies from within or the enemies from without. Be with me in my time of despair. You know, sometimes we ask each other, how was your day? You know, every once in a while I'll pick up the grandkids from school and on my unlucky days I have to do that. No, that's not true. But well, one of the questions, and my parents used to say, how was, you know, when you pick somebody up from school, or it can be from work or wherever, how was your day? And what's the usual answer to that? Okay, all right. Beyond, you know, not a whole lot of forthcoming details, right? It's okay. And, you know, when I get asked that, that's almost the thing. It's like, well, wait a minute, I have to stop and think about a long answer, and I don't have the energy to do this. I just say, okay. There's a religious historian named Dorothy Bass who has a friend who is mother to small children, and she's reframed that question in a whole lot better way. When she's putting her little kids to bed, she now asks them, where did you see God today? And she's asked it enough that now they will answer, well, I saw God in this tree that was full of blossoms. I saw God when I saw one homeless person help another homeless person. Or I saw God when a teacher stopped and worked with me on a problem. You know, small things, but seeing God in the little things is a really a nice way maybe to ask ourselves, where did you see God? Where did you see God today? So I close today asking us to take just a few seconds to, in silence, think of a time this week when you saw God. Our God, in our nearness, when we feel you intimately, or when we feel the despair of separation, we claim with the end of this psalm, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We wait for the Lord. We stay strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Lord, we come before thee now, at thy feet we humbly bow. Lord, do not our suit disdain, shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? In thine own appointed way, now we seek thee, here we stay. Lord, we know not how to go, till a blessing thou bestow, till a blessing thou bestow. Grant that all may seek and find thee, a God supremely kind. Heal the sick, the captive free. Let us all rejoice in thee. Let us all rejoice in thee.
Father, thank you for being our God and for loving us so. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the glimpse of heaven that you give us through this family as we commune together. Through your Son's name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son and the opportunity we have this morning to unite with all those who gather today to remember that gift. We thank you for that. We ask that you continue to bless us. These things we pray through him. Amen.
Virgil in his red shirt reminded us that many of us are wearing green, so this is a moment for looking at your colors. If you have yellow or blue cards, you're going to put them in the collection plate. Our members are going to put their offerings in the collection plate. Will you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for being there in beautiful azalea bushes, and in a comforting thought and a sweet note from someone you touched. Thank you for all the blessings you give us. Keep us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
How easily sometimes we say, oh, I'll pray for you, or you're in our prayers. And at this moment, we have a time to make that for real. Somebody will be standing at the back. If you would like to pray with somebody, or if you would like someone to pray for you about some specific thing or many things, there's somebody at the back that is happy to do exactly that. And I thought of that when Virgil talked about someone there with skin on to actually be there with you and pray for you is what we have this morning as Lupe leads the rest of us in song.
I am going to lead What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who in all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Remember with the load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks again for being with us today. We have a number of visitors with us today, and we hope that you have felt especially welcome today. If you are a part of this congregation, if you have not met some of our guests today, please make sure to do that. Virgil, thanks for joining us today. It's always a gift and an honor to have you here, and you'll come in a few minutes and send us on out. A couple of things before we get to family matters. You probably heard or read about Dan Garrett's mom, her passing just a couple days ago. We know the Watson family is up there with the Garrett family this week, so we want to keep Dan in our prayers especially. Dexter, how about you come up here, please? A couple of weeks ago, we prayed for Dexter regarding an interview that he had for his citizenship, and he's going to tell us how that went.
Thank you. Testing. This is Dexter. First of all, I must say thank you. Coming to America was fun, but coming to this congregation is more fun. And I used to wonder when I look at the screen and see Family Matters, I say, Family Matters. But I'm so happy that I can share some Family Matters today. And I asked the church to pray for me on my interview 2 weeks ago. And I want the whole church to know that I was successful. And now I'm a permanent resident of the United States of America. Thank you. I miss someone in the corner down there, a little slim lady saying, Amen, Amen. I wish she was here today. Thank you.
Dick Darrow, come share an announcement we have for a couple weeks from now.
Good morning. Several decades ago, Southwest Central began the men's prayer breakfast. And after a long time, the breakfast transitioned into the men's prayer luncheon. The meals have presented numerous opportunities for those present to draw closer to their Christian brothers through fellowship and prayer around a table. I was reminded recently that agape meals were a part of the early church assemblies. And we know that Jesus shared meals with sinners, tax collectors, and Pharisees. Through the decades, praying with others has been a great spiritual blessing to me, and I believe to many others who were present. As we look to the future, I and others envision having assembly-wide agape meals in which women, children, families, and visitors look forward to praying with one another and for one another. Most present are familiar with the idiom, walk a mile in my shoes. It simply means that we should try to understand someone before we form opinions about them. I believe if you really want to know someone, spend time with them in prayer. So toward this end, on the 31st of this month, we are going to have an agape meal. It will be a time dedicated to fellowship and to prayer. I hope it will become a cherished time of intimate fellowship and prayer. May God hear and bless our voices. Thank you.
That agape meal will take place during our service, two Sundays from now on the 31st. We will meet at 10:30 that morning instead of 10 o'clock, so everything's pushed back 30 minutes. We'll start at 10:30. We will not have Bible classes that day. We'll worship in here as usual. We'll have tables set up. We'll share a meal. And during that time, we'll share communion and prayer as well. So really looking forward to that. Please make plans to come on March 31st for that. A couple of other family matters to share with you. We have evening service in the fellowship hall tonight, 6 o'clock. Come back for that if you'd like. We also have our weekly Cafe Grace, our gathering here at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. We share a light meal together around 6 o'clock. We hang out with our neighbors. There's a Bible study starting around 7 o'clock that Larry leads. This upcoming Wednesday, we typically feed the students at the University of Houston's The Point Ministry. We've done this for many years now. That is this upcoming Wednesday. Steve, what are details that I need to express at this moment?
We'll be doing preparation beginning at 9.
Preparation at 9 here at the building.
We will leave here at 10:30.
Leave at 10:30. Okay, if you would like to serve, we're leaving here at 10:30 on Wednesday.
Desserts.
Need desserts. Okay. Sounds good. If you're able to help in any of these ways, please talk to Steve Sandifer after our service today. One more thing for you. This upcoming Thursday, I'm going to take a group of people down to visit our sister Noveline Booker, who lives in an assisted living facility in Pearland. This is on Thursday the 21st. We're going to leave around 10 o'clock. We'll be back after lunch sometime 12:30, 1 o'clock or so. You're certainly welcome to join us for that adventure. Bible classes, I think, is the next one. We have several for you to choose from today. Room 101, 2 Corinthians in the library. We have 1 and 2 Kings here in the auditorium. 2 Samuel 106, poetry and scripture in the Gospels. Mercy and the prayer group will meet in the prayer room just across from the nursery, and then we have classes for teens and for children directly to my right in that hallway. Thank you again for being here. Virgil comes in this out. Let's stand, please, as he comes and does so.
Lord of light and salvation, be with us all. May we enjoy those who are the God with skin on, and may we be that to those around us. Amen.